You're listening to the Modern Vital Podcast, which explores the relationship between environmental factors and human health. Here is your host, Dr. Ben Reebs, founder of Portland Clinic of Natural Health and Modern Vital, elevating health and well-being one journey at a time. Stay tuned for fun, practical, and thought-provoking health tips, along with suggestions and insights into optimizing health and preventing chronic disease through integrative, naturopathic, and functional medicine approaches. Your body is unique, powerful, and intelligent. Your treatment should be too.
On today's episode of the Modern Vital Podcast, we're going to talk about using herbal medicine in the home, particularly with regards to the immune system. And today's very special guest is Dr. Caitlin Mudry, naturopathic doctor and herbalist in the small town of Kimberley, British Columbia. Always being a lover of the outdoors, Dr. Mudry has a large focus on sustainable naturopathic prescribing. She, of course, has her own herb garden. And it's sustainable for the patient as well as the planet, the environment. She hand makes about 80% of her herbal medicines and, of course, uses them in her naturopathic practice, focusing on custom blended herbal tinctures and homeopathics. And when she isn't wildcrafting or attempting to garden, she loves spending time outdoors with her family and cooking. Welcome to the show, Dr. Mudry.
Hi, so happy to be here.
It's great to have you. So tell us a little bit about what it means to have an herb garden.
So I'm a horrible gardener. My grandma, God bless her, rest in peace, is probably so disappointed in me because our vegetable garden is like actually quite bad. I put a lot of effort in, but vegetable gardening is really hard. Herb gardening, so much easier. So I love my herb garden because a lot of them are perennials. You know, like we live in Canada, so we like the snow, they got to be pretty hardy to come back every year. But honestly, my herbs and my herb garden are some of the easiest things to grow. Like our thyme and our sage come back every year. My echinacea is really hardy. Chelidonium is like this crazy weed that's like gone all over the place. Wild lettuce, all of these like different herbs that some culinary, some more specifically like form my practice.
So are most of yours outside or do you also have a little bit of indoor herbal stuff going on?
All outside. Again, I take pity on our houseplants, especially like we just had a daughter this year. She just turned one. And so all of our houseplants did very bad this past year. But just the outside garden, and they all kind of like, if you want to be my plant, you have to fend for yourself. I love them and I try and nurture them as much as I can. But as like a busy doctor, a busy mom, you know, they're pretty hardy. And we have a beautiful like backyard. Like we live right up against kind of this like mountain slope. So there's tons of herbs that are like out in the wild, out in the mountains that I get to go wildcraft. And I kind of like consider that part of, you know, my accessible medicinary as well, because they're right in our backyard.
Well, this is really awesome. Just the fact that you're saying it's so easy to do. I think that's one of the first barriers for people. They're thinking like, okay, like how am I going to, you know, pick the hardy ones? How am I going to tend to it and keep it going? You know? So you're saying it's really not a whole lot of maintenance.
No, like, okay, I will admit basil has never grown well for me. Actually, holy basil grows better for me than culinary basil. But it's finding those herbs that like are going to work really well in your garden. And there's like so many awesome books out there. I love especially the culinary herbs because like they're in so many just general gardening books, right? And like especially if we're thinking of the immune system, like oregano is one of our biggest immune herbs. Thyme is one of my current clinic favorite herbs. It is so strong and it grows like a weed. Like I harvested some from a local woman's backyard and she had this like terrace garden, very beautiful, this like waterfall running down all of these rocks, and the thyme just like grew like crazy over all of the different rocks. And so she was like, literally you can harvest like pounds and pounds and pounds of this because it is growing like a weed all over the place. And I was like, that's my kind of herb, grows like a weed, you do nothing.
I love that. Yeah, I use a lot of thyme these days in my practice, particularly for mold. It's got such great antifungal properties. So when it comes to, you know, immune health, I mean, we're here in December. It's kind of the darker time of the year. I know that you and I are both in similar parts of the world. I'm here in Portland, Oregon, and you're quite a bit north of me. What are like a few herbs you consider just absolutely essential to have on hand to incorporate into food and even maybe make tinctures out of?
For sure. So culinary wise, my two biggest are garlic and ginger. I do mostly tinctures in my practice, and nobody has been like, Dr. K, give me more of that garlic tincture. So I really encourage people to use the garlic in their food, right? Because garlic tastes delicious in all of our food, but it's a little harsh if we're taking it in our tincture. And ginger as well. Like at my wedding, like one of the biggest stories at my wedding was my garlic ginger tea that I've always made everybody have anytime they're sick. So I do like crushed fresh garlic, sliced up ginger, and I chop it up really finely with a bunch of honey and lemon and then hot water. And then I always say you have to eat the chunks too. So you're eating these like chunks of ginger and garlic at the end, but it tastes great because we add that lemon and honey. You can put some cinnamon, nice and warming, a little bit of cayenne, especially if you have a sore throat. The cayenne is great. And then dry ginger as well. Like dry ginger and hot ginger, they work a little bit differently, especially in Chinese medicine. They have pretty different indications, but you can taste that, right? If you have like a boiled pot of fresh ginger versus a bunch of dry ginger, the dry ginger is hot, hot, hot. And it goes and it gets like right back onto your tonsils, right back onto your sore throat there. And it can be super helpful for those sore throats where everything in that combo that I talked about, ginger, lemon, honey, garlic is all super good for our general immune system, colds and flus, all those different kinds of things. So we drink that like almost weekly in my house.
That's awesome. So then are you also making tinctures from your herb garden as well as the wildcrafting? I mean, you're kind of just combining everything and making different things as needed.
Yeah, totally. So I have like a pretty big practice in Little Kimberley here, and we try and harvest and grow just as much as we need of the few herbs. So I have like 10 herbs that I grow. And like I said, they're all really easy. And then anything that I've tried, I'll like try it 2 times. And if I haven't quite got it, you know what? There's some amazing farmers out there that I can order some herbs from. So that's kind of like my general rule. And I'll make those into tinctures, but then also I love having them for teas. And I do a lot of teas for my patients because they are like very easy for the patients to access and give people a lot of agency as well. I'll be like, okay, here's your urinary tea or here's your cold and flu tea, and take it every day for a week and then keep it on hand so that if the symptoms come back, you can start on that. Like, especially, you know, how many patients like get their first symptom on like Monday morning, 9 a.m. They're like, oh, dear doctor, I'd like to get in this week for this. No, it's usually like Friday night, like 9:30 p.m. It's like, oh, no, I feel my cold coming on, right? Like you need something in your cabinet ready to go to. So that's where like having those like ready-made teas and things like that can be really helpful.
So then you'll make sure your patients have it on hand for when they do get sick, right? Awesome. Mm-hmm.
Or they have the recipe, you know, like the garlic ginger tea. Most people have all of those things somewhere in their cabinets. So I always am like, beginning of cold and flu season, I'm like, here's all the recipes. I'm pretty sure it's on my blog. I post about it on my Instagram, you know, like multiple times a year. I am like, here I am making this tea again. Like, you should make this tea also.
Well, one thing, you know, we talked a little bit about, and I think this is an incredibly important point you make, is how organics really don't exist in so many of the supplements we know and love, even from these reputable companies. And of course, if you're wildcrafting, it's going to be organic. And then if you're growing with organic herbs, then it's going to be organic. But can you speak to this a little bit, the importance of organic?
For sure. And so this is something that I really have like noticed in the industry as a whole, like a whole kind of like health industry. There actually is this great book, The Business of Botanicals by Anne Armbrecht. And she runs a conference called the Sustainable Herbalism Conference. She is like really pioneering a lot of sustainability in herbalism. And so this is kind of like a big pushback to this massive industry that has become like herbal medicine. Of really asking like, where are these plants coming from and how are these plants being made and processed and shipped and stored and all of these different kinds of things, you know? So it's like, as much as I love seeing more herbal products on the shelves for easy access to people, not always are they organic. You know, there's a couple of really good botanical companies. And this is what I always tell people. If you're going to buy herbs off the shelf, get it from an herb company, not a supplement company, because the supplement company is not growing those herbs, right? The herb company usually is. And that's the kind of herb company that I really love, especially big ones. We have a lot of great ones in Canada and the States, you know, kind of like East Coast, West Coast, each has their own like big names in it. But especially looking at combos, and like a lot of things have come out recently of like, oh, here's a great immune support. It has like vitamin C and zinc and echinacea and elderberry. And if unless it says like organic elderberry, organic echinacea on there, there is no guarantee of the like quality of those herbs. And we all know the importance of organics in food, right? Like if we are eating pesticide, glyphosate laden foods, that's going to destroy our gut barrier, which, you know, most listeners probably know like how important our gut barrier is for our overall health and our immune health. And so those same kind of pesticides can be used on all of our herbs, especially because as much as I talk about the easy to grow ones, there's many herbs that are hard to grow, especially in the quantities that we want them. And there's way less knowledge about it, right? So like everybody and their brother has been growing cabbages since like forever, but especially in North America, like how long have we been growing ashwagandha here? Like honestly, like 5 years. So really being able to like source and find that and understand like organic herbs are harder to find and they're more expensive, but a lot of them can easily be grown in your garden.
Yeah, it brings up the question too of like, you know, if I get like a thyme tincture from the store that's not organic, you know, am I really getting anything that's going to work at all? You know, versus if I actually spend that extra $5 or $10 to get something organic, you know, it might be literally 10 times more powerful or actually work, whereas the other one doesn't work at all, right?
Exactly. And that's like what we think about with the nutrient density of foods. Like we're looking at our, say, tomato full of like lycopene and all of these other nutrients, and like the organic versus the conventionally grown one. Conventional, like often are just like bigger, but full of like more water and like not much else. And that water is not necessarily very nutritious water, right? So it's like, what's the soil these are being grown in? And that's where it's like, these conventionally grown herbs could be grown in super nutrient depleted soil. And in fact, there's lots of really cool studies actually looking at like wild crafted plants versus cultivated plants. And this is a whole nother like podcast show unto itself, wild versus, you know, cultivated plants. But the soil matters is the summary of that. Like wild crafted plants often have so many more nutrients on them because they're just like growing in the wild surrounded by mega biodiversity. And so that matters in being able to create the specific constituents we need in the plants to have those immune fighting properties.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's amazing how easy it is to not rely on the plants as much. I think, you know, in functional medicine, naturopathic medicine, integrative medicine, it's easy to just kind of go for the nutrients and the supplements. But then we have these amazing herbs that really do work. And unfortunately, we've lost some of that knowledge or people are bringing it back. That must be such a delight for you to share that with your patients and for them to see the results.
Totally. And I mean, that's why I call myself a naturopathic doctor and an herbalist, because like I am working with the herbs every single day. Like literally this morning I was pressing all my tinctures. Like here's like our little garden grown bee balm tincturing. And then we're going to press this later when we need it in the clinic. And a couple of years ago I was doing more health chats, and we did one in a community garden that grew a bunch of amazing herbs. All easy to grow ones. They were growing all over the place. The herbs were like, the lemon balm was like, please somebody pick me, please come and use me. So I was like, okay, let's do a class. And then we had people harvest, you know, I talked about like lemon balm's good for our nervous system, it's an antiviral, chamomile's good for digestion, what else, we had oregano and thyme there, so we talked about those immune properties. And then everybody got to go harvest like a little bit of what they wanted, and we made them into a tincture. And so everybody got to take home their own little tincture. And it's like, look, this is like literally in our free community garden going unused, right? Like the herbs are all around us. They're begging for us to be used, but it's even like a lot of naturopathic doctors I know, herbs is part of our job, our business, our like ethos. It's how we do the work that we do. So many of us are still like disconnected from actually like seeing the herb picking the herb and then using it. The amount of picked herbs that have just been picked and then unused, it's like heartbreaking, right? So that's why we always want to make sure we're just growing like what we need, harvesting like what we need. And the beautiful thing is that with a lot of our culinary herbs is that we can grow them and dry them and then use them all through the year.
That's awesome. So quick question for you. You know, let's say that you've got a patient coming to you that's got complex chronic illness. Maybe they have some long haul COVID. Maybe they have a chronic Epstein-Barr flare-up. Maybe they've been living in a house that's got some mold in it for the last few years and they've gotten out. And let's say, you know, they're coming to you with three or four things, and you know that their immune system, after maybe some testing and your assessment, you know that their immune system really needs support. Like, what are a couple go-to things that you're gonna use based on that patient? You know, and it might not be anything in particular. It might be, you might have to really see that patient to know, but I'm curious to hear your thoughts about working with that type of patient.
Totally. And there's so many ways we can look at this. Like, I love cooking, so we can look at it from like that lens, and then also what time of the year. So let's say it's like summertime and our garden's going crazy and this patient is like, I have all this parsley, what should I do? Like, okay, amazing. Parsley's going to be great for like our kidneys and helping supporting our detox, and we know is so important with any kind of like chronic infection. And then let's say we also have some like oregano and some thyme in our garden as well. Those are huge antimicrobials, great antifungals, great for any kind of like different kind of co-infections we can get, especially if we have some of those, you know, like Epstein-Barr and those things. Makes us so much more susceptible to anything else coming in. So we could make like a huge pesto with all of that. Like, as someone who can't go basil, I make pesto with everything. Or chimichurri, you know, like chimichurri is from Argentina, I believe, but it's my go-to because it literally is take all the herbs, mash them up, blend them up, salt, oil. How's that not delicious? And then you put it on everything. Like, we make it every day and I say literally put it on everything. Or if it's the winter time and it's like, let's say the patient, they love their pasta. Like, I'm gluten-free, I don't do the pasta. But let's say you, the listener, you love your pasta. We can put so many herbs into one pasta sauce. Like, we can put like 3 cloves of garlic, 2 tablespoons of oregano, all of this basil, any kind of herb that you have. And that pasta that is like so comforting and nourishing and like cozy for your whole family, that's going to be full of all of these herbs that are going to be helping like nourish and boost your immune system every single day on top of what you're getting as a supplement. And actually, that reminded me of the food story. Who was it that you interviewed about the food
story? Ian Rubin.
Yeah. So like, he, you know, was talking about there's like so much cultural significance with our food, and to see our food as this like beautiful healing plate of pasta in front of us. It's not just like all of these like cultural connections and emotional things, but it's like we can infuse all of these herbs into it. So when we take those herbs in this like very relaxed and comfortable and like celebratory manner, those herbs can work better. Herbs, like, I've taken so many different things over the course of, you know, my history of wanting to improve my health, and like throwing in a couple of like tablets and then like rushing out the door and like choking them down as I'm like driving versus putting them into my food. Guess which herbs works better? Obviously the ones we put more love and care into.
Wow. I love that. I mean, that just really speaks to having a local connection and living sustainably. It's like we eat whatever is around. I mean, like you said, depending on the time of year, it's just powerful medicine.
Mm-hmm. And something that we do every day, right? Like, let food be thy medicine, or what's that quote? Greatest poison or greatest medicine, you know?
So,
who said that? Socrates?
Right. The difference between a medicine and a poison is the dose. Whatever, let thy food be thy medicine. So where can people find you online?
I am on Instagram mostly. Dr. K Mudry. DrkMudry. I have a website too, but it mostly is just like my clinical info. So if you want to hear me like chatting about herbs, posting all the tinctures I'm making, the herbal honeys, if you want to see my baby daughter getting into a mess about some herbs, yeah, Instagram is where to find me.
Well, awesome. I'll make sure to link to all of that in the show notes. And thanks so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Dr. Ben. It was so awesome chatting with you.
Absolutely. Well, that concludes today's episode of the Modern Vital Podcast. We'd really love to hear from you. We value your feedback. And if you have any questions or suggestions, please reach out to me at ben@modernvital.com. Also, please leave us a review if you enjoyed this episode. And we look forward to having you join us next week for another exciting episode of the Modern Vital Podcast.